eliminate distractions in this time, and that we could just focus on you, and that we could draw close to the Father. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're in a sermon series of our theme for the year of our church, Experiencing the Kingdom Together. And the title of today's sermon is, Where is the Kingdom of God? I think you would agree that we need to find out where is the Kingdom of God in order to experience the Kingdom of God. So I'm going to just ask you to talk to your neighbor for about a minute and ask them, where is the Kingdom of God? By the way, you can't answer everywhere because technically that's correct, but you're going to see in Scripture that Jesus gave a much more specific answer. So go ahead and just talk to your neighbor for 1 minute. Where is the Kingdom of God? Let's get some answers. All right, you guys ready? We're just going to get a couple of answers from the crowd. So can I ask, how about just this section? Give me one answer that you guys got. Where is the Kingdom of God? Yes, it is in the silence. Where else is it? Irene, yes? Yeah, the Bible does talk about that, where two or three gather in His name. How about that section back there? The kingdom is at hand. It's the here and now. Okay, good answer. How about just one from this side of the room? In our hearts, that's a really good answer. And that is in the passage of today as well. And so let's look at the passage for today. All right, Luke chapter 17, 20 to 21. Luke 17, 20 to 21. By the way, it is good if you have your Bibles open there, because I'm going to put up on the screen a different translation that probably most of you don't have. I'm going to put up the New King James Version. I think most of you have the NIV or ESV, so it would be helpful for you to open up in your Bibles, because I'm going to ask you to look down in your Bibles and give us what it says in your translation in just a little bit. All right, so Luke 17, 20 to 21. This is Jesus speaking, and I mean, he's talking, amongst other things, he's talking about where the kingdom of God is. Okay, so let's read it out loud together, okay? Luke 17, 20, 21, Jesus is speaking. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, okay, well, I'm going to focus first on verse 21, and so just let's read that again really quick. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So a little bit about what Tammy said, right? The kingdom of God is within us. We as Christians, we believe that the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts. We believe that it is Christ in us. And so we see that this makes sense. But I want to point out something really important to know when we're reading this passage. Jesus wasn't speaking to the Christians, right? He was speaking actually to the Pharisees. He was speaking to the ones who were unbelieving, the doubters, the troublemakers, if you will. He was speaking to the ones who were actually trying to trap him. So he was speaking not to the followers, not to the Christians, but to the others. And he was saying that the kingdom of God is within them. That's kind of surprising to hear, right? So this is where I learned, when you read the Bible, or when I first learned how to read the Bible, always check out other translations of the Bible, right? Because the original Bible was written, or the original New Testament was written in Greek. And so we're translating into English, so we would do well to look at some other translations. Look it down in your Bible. And you probably, most of you have the NIV, the ESV, and see what it says there. Okay, I'm going to throw it up on the screen in the NIV, and here's what it says. So let's read it out loud together, just verse 21. This is, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. So Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God may not necessarily be within them, because they were the Pharisees, the people doubted, they're unbelievers, they're trying to trap Jesus, but he was saying that the kingdom of God was in their midst. The kingdom of God is even in the midst of the troublers and the persecutors, the ones who are trying to trap Jesus. How much more is the kingdom of God certainly in our midst, with our hearts centered upon Christ, desiring for the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is in our midst. But sometimes I think that we can be kind of thinking that the kingdom of God is somewhere else. Right, it's up in Bethel Church, up in Reading, you know, where all the music is coming from that we sang this morning even. where it's coming, you know, the revival that's happening there, that's touching the world, the music going out all over the world, and we could say that the kingdom of God is happening up in Reading. Or we could even say, you know, the kingdom of God maybe is happening in Arcadia. And I just picked that because I don't think many of us live in Arcadia, but if the kingdom of God's happening in Arcadia, it's too far. Right? For those of us who desire the kingdom of God, who are Christians and Christ followers, if it's in Arcadia, it's too far. If even the kingdom of God is breaking out in the Harvest Building, even though we're one church, but it's too far. We're desiring the kingdom of God to break in our midst. And Jesus is saying, of course, he includes this in the scripture. He knows lots of Christians are going to read it. But he's saying, even for those who are the troublemakers, the persecutors, the kingdom of God is in their midst. God is going to break in even in their midst. Certainly, that God's kingdom is going to break in our midst. But you might ask a question then, but I don't see the kingdom of God that's happening. You know, maybe even our vision that we want to see massive salvations, passionate pursuit of God in our church, our city, and our world. And you say, well, I'm not seeing that. And this morning you might come to church and you might actually see problems that are happening in your life, or certainly problems that are happening in this world. And we ask, how can I reconcile this, that the kingdom of God is in our midst, and yet I might not be seeing that in my life, or I'm not definitely not seeing that in this world. How do we reconcile those two things? And I would say that Jesus speaks into that question in verse 20. So let's look at verse 20. Can we read that out loud together again? Let's just read the portion that's underlined up on the screen. Okay, so it says this. The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Would you agree that our sight, our observation is important? Right? Lots of us wear glasses to improve our vision. Some of us get LASIK eye surgery, contact lenses, whatever. It's important. Our sight's important. Even Jesus said, right, in the Gospels, another portion of the Gospels, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is healthy, then the rest of the body is good. If the rest of the body is full of light. So why would he say this to the Pharisees and telling them that the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed? It's again important to note that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the ones who took really careful observation of Jesus in order to trap him. Right, in order to prove him wrong, in order to find a way that find something that he did that was not according to the law, so that to discredit his ministry, to discredit him as the Messiah. And so Jesus was not saying that there was anything wrong with observation in general, but Jesus was saying that there was a problem with their form of observation. Right? There was a problem with them focusing their observation, focusing their seeing on the things that Jesus did in order to trap him. And God, I think, includes this in the scripture to exhort us, to encourage us to focus on the right things. Now, I want to show you a two-minute video clip. How many of you guys are familiar with the National Geographic show called Brain Games? I'm going to show you a short two-minute clip about observation. All right, so take a look, and then I'm going to comment more after it plays.
I'm going to show you something that's not completely legal.
Notice all the things that have changed since the scene began.
Action.
I'm going to show you something that's not completely legal.
Go! Here.
While we held your attention on the money, the table turned to a stool.
Go!
Apollo magically got a new hat and handkerchief. All the posters and cards in the background changed.
Your brain just played a trick on you. We all think we're paying close attention to the world around us. But strange as it may sound, this is just an illusion.
Go!
Misdirection is an elegant form of attention control. Our brains only allow us to really focus on one thing at a time. So when we have you deciphering a mystery down here, another mystery can be happening back here.
So, did you miss the 8 things that changed throughout the scene? Don't feel bad if you were fooled.
All right, I'm going to play the first 45 seconds again, all right, and see if you can catch the 8 things. This is without the commentary, just the 45 seconds of the actual scene. All right, let's play this one.
I'm going to show you something that's not completely legal.
I watched this obviously more than the 2 times. I watched it several times. I still couldn't catch all of them. You know, and I feel like that Jesus, in Luke chapter 17, had a really similar message to the Pharisees. He included this in the scripture because he has a very same message to us. He's saying that sometimes our focus, or for the Pharisees, they're focused on trapping Jesus. He's saying if your focus is going to be there, you're going to miss the kingdom of God that's in your midst. For us, we would say, you know, we're not as bad as the Pharisees, right? I don't think there's many or any of us in this room that are out to try to trap Jesus and discredit his ministry. But for us, there's also other things that could just pull our attention away. And when we begin to pull our attention away, the thing that God calls us to focus on, then this could cause us to miss the kingdom of God that's happening in our midst. So the question would be, well, then what are we supposed to focus on, right? So I want to bring you to another passage of scripture. So open your Bibles to John chapter 5, verse 19. And I would say, and by the way, this is John 5, 19 is the very first passage that I asked us to turn to on January 1st of this year, and really is the primary passage of the kingdom of God, especially us as a Vineyard Church. The primary passage where God speaks to us about kingdom theology. Okay, John 5, 19. This would be a good passage maybe for you to underline in your Bibles. Okay, Jesus is speaking, John 5, 19, and he tells us what we are supposed to focus on. Actually, he tells us what he actually focuses on. All right, John 5, 19. Let's read it out loud together. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus was saying that his focus was always on the Father God. And as his focus was always on the Father God, that's how the kingdom of God began to unfold in his life and also through his life. It's the same thing for us, right, as Christians, that we are called to do nothing except what we see the Father doing. As we keep our focus upon the Father and we see, observe what the Father is doing, that's the way we're going to be able to observe and key into and tune into the kingdom of God that's happening in our midst. Now, this was probably a real cliche point, right? This is something you learn in first grade Sunday school. You know, you need to focus on God, experience the kingdom of God. But I feel like that this is actually a real timely word for us. Right now, we're at the end of January, finishing the first month of the year on our calendar, Chinese New Year. You know, it's the first or second day of the Chinese New Year. And lots of us at the beginning of the year signed up for the 180 Bible reading plan. I was really pleased and proud of our congregation for that. Lots of us signed up for the fast. Lots of us were signing up for new ministries and really making decisions for God, kingdom of God. And I think that the enemy is not happy with that. And the enemy is going to throw all sorts of things our way to focus our attention on, to draw us away from focusing on Father God. And God is speaking into that, I believe, in this, you know, kind of a checkpoint of the year, first month, almost over, saying, you know, what are we focused on? What are the things that are grabbing our attention? Because God's saying the kingdom of God is in our midst. Actually, the kingdom of God is even in their midst. Certainly, the kingdom of God is in our midst, and there's all sorts of kingdom activity and God doing all sorts of things. But are we keyed into those things? Are we in tune with God? Is our focus upon God, and we're seeing what the Father is doing such that we begin to key into the kingdom of God activity that's happening in our lives, in our church, our work, etc., our families. And we begin to exercise and enter into the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God begins to flow through us. I think that's a good word for us. You know, there's a famous preacher that some of you guys are familiar with, one of my favorite authors, Francis Chan. And I want to show you an excerpt of one of his books. It's actually a book that that our young married couples are going to start going through starting next week, called You and Me Forever. And it's primarily a marriage, or particularly a marriage book, but you're going to see in this quote really applies to every single aspect of life. Here's what Pastor Francis said in his book, You and Me Forever. I'll read it for us. I assume that you see the importance of focusing on God above all else. If every married person would do that regularly, many problems would disappear. Again, our marriage problems are not really marriage problems. They are heart problems. They are God problems. Our lack of intimacy with God causes a void that we try to fill with the frailest of substitutes, like wealth or pleasure, like fame or respect, like people, like marriage. So Pastor Francis is saying there's all sorts of things that are grabbing our attention. Problems. Things that we need to address. Things that are out of order in our lives. And our focus begins to go there. We begin to do things in order to solve those problems, and we're settling for the frail substitutes, as he talks about. And Pastor Francis is saying those are actually not our problems. A lot of times it's a heart problem, a problem with God, a problem that we have with God. And if we could settle that with God, we would be able to tune into the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God would start breaking out in our lives such that those other things start to be resolved. Pastor Francis gives this solution a little bit later in his book. He says, the solution is to stare at God. When we actually stare at him, everything fades to its proper place. Actually, the psalmist actually gave this word to us about staring at God. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, that's a passage worth underlining in your Bibles. It says this. Can we just read it out loud together? It says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. God calls us to gaze upon him, to stare at him. That's what Jesus did. He was saying, I'm only going to do what I see the Father doing. I'm going to keep on looking to the Father. And that's the way that I'm going to begin to experience the kingdom of God, and that's the way that I'm going to help other people experience the kingdom. See, I want to say today, I think a good question for us to ask ourselves, especially at this checkpoint of the year, and I encourage you to ask yourself the question right now. You might not be able to give the full answer of it right now, but how are you doing with God? A lot of times we ask each other the question, you know, how are you doing in your marriage? How are you doing with that person, you know, that you're in relationship with? How's that situation in your life? How's that problem in your life? But let's ask ourselves the question, how are we doing with God? And give a real genuine, sincere answer of how you're doing with God. As Pastor Francis is saying, those are not our problems. It's really a heart problem, a problem that we might have with God. So ask yourself that question. I mean, again, you may not be able to get the full answer right this moment, in this split second, but this coming week, instead of focusing on the problems and how are you doing with those problems and those situations, but how are you doing with God? God calls us to gaze upon him, to stare at him, and you might wonder, you know, how are you going to do that? And there's millions and millions of ways, right, to spend time with God, to do your quiet times, to stare at God, to gaze upon his beauty. But I just want to share three things that have been helpful to me through the years, and I think it could be helpful to you, just in my times that I'm gazing upon God, staring at God. The first thing is that I just try to do what I humanly can do in order to eliminate the distractions, right? Shut off the cell phone, shut off the electronics, go to a private place, a lonely place, actually, as Jesus often did, and just try to find a place where it's going to be conducive to me spending time with God, staring at God, gazing upon him. And then I'll pray a simple prayer that I will encourage you to pray. Just say, in Jesus' name, I pray that there will be no distractions in this time that I can spend with God. Listen, God will honor that prayer request. You know, God cares more about the time with you than you care about the time with him, actually. So he's going to honor that request. He's going to honor that prayer. And And then the third thing that I do that I want to share this morning is that I don't bring huge chunks of scripture into those times. I do the 180 Bible reading plan along with a lot of the rest of you, but I do that at a separate time. A connected time, but a separate time. The time when I go to God, when the times of staring at God or gazing upon God, I only go with either one verse or a portion of one verse. Some of you are familiar with Lectio Divina. It's kind of my own kind of version of that, but just a portion of one verse, going to God, and I'll spend the time with him, and I encourage a starting point, about 10 minutes, just being with God, just that one short passage, one verse or a portion of one verse or whatever works for you, but just one small portion of a passage of scripture and just a focus time upon that. No distractions, just focus on that one passage and what God is going to begin to download and speak to you in that time. 10 minutes, I would say, to start off with. And I think God will meet you in those times as you stare at him, as you gaze upon his beauty, and he begins to meet you. And you begin to tune into the kingdom of God in your own life. And you begin to tune into the kingdom of God in order to help other people also experience the kingdom of God. Now, this is an ongoing thing, you know, things that we encourage doing this every single day. But I wanted to make this sermon real practical at this end point. And I just want to give space this morning at the end of this service for us to do this together, experience the kingdom together, literally. And so I'm going to give you one short passage to focus upon, and it's in Isaiah 6, verse 1. And it says this: this is the image that the prophet Isaiah had of the throne room of God. Isaiah 6, verse 1. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. This morning as we close, I just wanted to give space for all of us to just have that time with God, to gaze upon God. This portion of the service is going to go, as it normally does, about 10 minutes. And you'll see that the first song that we sing is going to be very much in line with this. So just this one passage, just this one picture in this image of God, high and exalted, seated on a throne, the train of his robe fills the temple. And just focus on that. Gaze upon God. Fix your eyes upon him. Say no to the other things that want to grab your attention. And say yes to God. And let God speak to you in this time. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Time. I'll ask the worship team if you can come up at this time as well. So I'm just going to pray that simple prayer right now. So in Jesus' name, I pray that there will be no distractions in this time, and it will be the voice of God that speaks to us as we meditate on this passage, that we desire to fix our eyes upon you. Fix our gaze upon you, to literally stare at you, to behold your beauty, that we might tune into the kingdom of God. I declare right now, just according to God's word, that the kingdom of God is in our midst. Right now, that this is a holy time. A time that we are connecting with God, beholding his beauty, and the beauty of God being input into us for his glory.